something we discussed on the show yesterday with Alan McLean, who is a former Canadian Tour champ. We were talking Masters with him, and Jim had a question.
Not to get too personal, but when you're talking to other golfers, different mental tricks to be ready for big tournaments, I bring it up because Tiger Woods says he's going to abstain from sex going into this Masters weekend.
He's focusing on preparing for the Masters.
I've heard boxers do the same thing. Women make the legs weak, rock. You know that. Is there a mentality out there that you should not... You know, you should be on your best behavior.
You shouldn't be
up.
Sinking your balls until after you sink your balls.
Yeah, yeah. Or should you just relax and go with the flow?
I've never really had to worry about that, Jim. I have read reports in the past that partaking in sexual activities does lessen your performance. So I think basketball players have done that in the past.
You think with golf, though, if there's any sport that maybe it would enhance because you're just a little calmer out there.
Yeah, have a quick smoke after.
dart on the tee block.
You'd think Tiger's well versed in that.
When he was playing his best golf, there is no question Tiger Woods was having a lot of sex with a lot of Hooters waitresses. We got a text message here. This came from Steve. I know you're interested about this topic, Jim.
Okay.
Steve says, Taz and Jim, I am a triathlete. I always abstain 2 weeks out from an event. Always gives me way more energy and a competitive edge.
I could see it. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's a placebo thing too, right?
You feel like you're doing something?
Yeah, look how in the zone I am. I'm sacrificing.
If you think you have an edge, then you actually do have an edge because your confidence is
true.
That much higher.
You technically do have an edge then.
Yeah.
So it is actually true.
It's all psychological.
Mm-hmm. Most is, yeah.
We're wondering if it works outside of the sporting world.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get better at things if you don't have sex? Well, here's a text message from 1-833-TAZ-AND-JIM. Hi, guys. I've been abstaining from sex since I got married 32 years ago, not by choice. And trust me, I haven't gotten better at anything.
That's tough.
That's, yeah. Oh, buddy. Taz and Jim, I abstained from sex a month before WrestleMania so I could have peak testosterone while I enjoyed it.
Now that's a guy who gets it.
Check out this innovation in billboard technology. So what? In the Netherlands, they have these billboards that they put up, and as you walk by them, they're blank, either red or yellow, you know, McDonald's colors. And as you walk by the billboard, you smell something which people are describing as a McDonald's French fry smell.
Interesting. If it does work, I mean, that is a great way to trick somebody into being hungry for your food. When you walk into a mall, anything, and you can smell fast food, it makes me immediately crave it. I get it. But how do they make the smell?
I have no idea. I would guess. I don't think they're actually frying fries.
With a big fan?
In the billboard. Must be like a diffuser, you know? They have a concentrated French fry scent that's just every once in a while getting...
Sure, like you can buy like a KFC candle. Right? They had those a few years ago.
Right.
So they can make a chemical, you know, replacement smell.
But didn't they have fire logs as well?
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah. The KFC
fire log.
Not candle, but yeah, it's supposed to smell like fried chicken. I don't know, man.
Now, these billboards they're like walking billboards. So people are walking past them. They're ground level. It's not like they're up, you know, you're driving down the highway and you got a billboard that's shooting out fry scent that's so strong it's going to penetrate through your windows into your vehicle.
Like swerving. Is that even a skunk? But in out of context, like sometimes fast food doesn't smell good. If you go to sit in your car and you're not expecting it and your wife had just had fast food in there and you smell it, you're like, ah!
Yeah, that's true. It smells good before you eat it. Like you get it and they hand it to you. Oh, that smells so good. But then if you leave the bag in the car, even for like 2 or 3 hours after you've eaten it, it just punches you in the face when you get back into the car.
Especially if you got, depending on the toppings, if you got onion on there, man, it's over. Just burn the car.
You're like, did I eat a hamburger in here?
Or my hockey equipment in the truck.
Is that my gym bag?
There we go. You have the right to remain stupid.
So an 82-year-old woman in North Carolina was noticing in her driveway that there was mystery fluids underneath her car.
Hmm.
Okay, so she obviously thought it was leaking something, brought it to the mechanic. The mechanic said that couldn't identify where the leak was coming from, and there were signs that someone was tampering with the vehicle. So this woman put up security cameras to find out what was happening, and what she discovered was a 52-year-old man named Walter McCray had been having a long affair with her 2008 Toyota Avalon. So a complete stranger was coming over to her driveway and getting it on with her car on a regular basis.
I'm sorry, and leaving enough of a mess that she thought it was an oil stain? What in the world is going on over there?
He really loved his car. Mechanophilia is a thing. Sexual attraction to machines or vehicles. This guy's been charged with 10 different things, including stalking, damage to property, tampering with a vehicle.
Yeah. Not consensual either, by the way.
He was having they estimate he was doing this for years. A long, I guess you'd call it a Toyota-thon of an affair.
Yeah. Oh, Toyota-thon days.
Whoa, what a feeling. Toyota. It is time for sports with Devin Peacock, our sports guy here on the Taz and Jim Show. Dev Masters weekend play getting underway around 8 a.m. this morning. Let's talk about the Canadians that we could see on the leaderboard.
There are four Canadians playing this year. Mike Weir, of course, Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin, and Corey Connors. They actually have a bit of a tradition that has started to happen at the Masters where they'll do a practice round together. So Mike Weir, with all the Canadians who are playing that year, and this year is those four. That would be kind of a fun round to be in with them playing going around. Here's something that's going to make everyone feel old. This is Mike Weir's 25th Masters.
Wow. Damn.
Imagine he won again.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be
something?
Never
know. You never know, but he got one.
He got one. Nick Taylor, you know, hasn't been at the Masters since 2020, and when he did play at the Masters in 2020, it was the COVID year, so they did it in the fall, not the spring. So he's pretty excited to be there this year. This is his first, what he's calling, true Masters experience, being in April in the spring. Adam Hadwin maybe could do something. Corey Connors, you know, the past couple of years has been kind of sniffing around, really making a move. And there's a chance, I think, the Canadians can make some noise this time around.
Let's hope so. It always brings out our Canadian pride when it happens. Also, I love watching the Canadian golfers watch other Canadian golfers when they're doing well.
There is a sense of camaraderie and teamwork there, even though it's a single-person sport. But they really do rally around each other. They all rally around Mike Weir. I mean, you mentioned it would be nice to see if Mike Weir won again. It would. I mean, he's over 50 now. That would be, if he were to win again, would that be more remarkable than his first Masters win, just based on his age? He hasn't really done it. I mean, I think that would be more the second time around than the first time, and the first time was pretty spectacular.
The Bay would probably bring back his clothing line.
Come on, Mike, do it for the slacks.
Do it for the slacks. A nice crisp golf shirt with a Mike Weir logo on it. Thanks, Dev. Queens of the Stone Age and the Struts performed in London, Ontario last night. We know when it comes to concerts, the only reviews that actually matter are the hammered concert reviews here with Taz and Jim. And I got to say, I think people were pretty well behaved last night because there wasn't many visible stumblers coming out after the show. That's usually how we find our hammered concert reviews. Just visually look for the people who are having trouble walking.
Oh, yeah. Red flag number one.
But everyone was pretty well behaved. I was able to find a gal who was having a little too much fun.
It's time for another
Hammered Concert Review.
Queens of the Stone Age, what did you think of the show?
I don't know any songs, and I didn't know any of them. But you know what? I got a free ticket, and I went with it. And I had a great time, as per usual. You know me.
I don't know you.
You know what? You better get to know me, because you'd have a better life if you did.
As someone who doesn't know anything about the band, what was your favorite part of the show?
Favorite part of the show is my best friend coming and hanging out with me and laughing at you bitches for having a good time with it.
Who's your best friend?
Hallie Sadler.
Hallie Sadler. Her last name's Sadley?
Sadler.
Sadler. Oh. Hallie Sadler.
Yeah.
This one's for you.
Hallie Sadler, this one's for you. I love you, my best friend.
I didn't know you were going to break into song. That's good, though.
You know what?
Queens of the Stone Age should be paying to see you.
Queens of the Stone Age. I don't even care about them. You're just having a fun time. Oh, sorry, guys. I forgot I'm standing by people who are the biggest fans of Queens of the Stone Age. Losers!
Hammer Concert Review!
Not sure how I feel about all that.
Losers!
I forgot I'm standing by people who are the biggest fans of Queens of the Stone Age. Losers!
I'm hoping her best friend... Hallie Sadler is the sweet and she's the spicy. I don't. That's a lot to handle. Holy cow.
Losers! You're all losers! Great concert, but you guys are losers!
Thanks for the free tickets, by the way.
This headline's an attention grabber. Polish priest jailed for throwing wild orgy where male prostitute died after overdosing on erectile dysfunction pills.
Holy moly, that was a ride.
And boy, oh boy, did they have trouble closing the casket. A Polish priest was sentenced to 18 months in jail for sex and drug crimes. Threw a big party. A guy at the party suddenly collapsed. People started freaking out. They called an ambulance. But when paramedics arrived, for some reason, they wouldn't let them enter the premises. Later realized that, yeah, the priest didn't want to get in trouble for throwing his wild orgy.
Mm-hmm.
But he has been sentenced, failing to provide assistance to a person in danger of loss or life. So the fact he didn't let the paramedics into the orgy, that's why he's in big trouble here.
Not about your reputation at that point. You got to get that guy to the hospital.
It's one of the reasons he's in trouble.
Many reasons.
The diocese in Poland has forced this... this guy, obviously, to step down. The bishop of the diocese stepped down as well. So this is a huge scandal over there.
So he must have known about these parties. The bishop, that he must have been implicated in some sense.
He didn't give a reason for his resignation.
Paper trail?
You remember, I thought this was an old headline for a second because there was an Italian priest who was sentenced to 3 years in prison back in late 2021 for stealing nearly $120,000 from the church to buy drugs for the orgies that he was hosting.
Jeez, man. Kind of an odd choice.
You know who must hate this? Regular priests, like good priests that aren't sexual deviants.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
You never get a headline, priest stayed at home this weekend reading a book. It's it's always the crazy ones.
Just had a normal night.
Yeah, yeah.
Polish priest jailed for throwing a wild orgy where male prostitute died after overdosing on erectile dysfunction pills.
This is why you got to do your research, too, when you're getting your male prostitutes. Why get the guy who can't get it up? You know what I mean? It's like getting it's like recruiting a guy on your basketball team with two broken legs. Like, what are you doing?
If he could go back, he'd make a different selection, I'm sure.
That was the mistake.
Time for sports. Devin Peacock is our sports guy. He is here. And we were just talking about the beautiful new designs for the Arizona Coyotes rink that they were hoping to build down in Arizona. But now Dev reports saying that the NHL could have that team pulled out of Arizona in the coming weeks.
Yes. So the regular season is close to ending. The Arizona Coyotes players have been talking about how there's a meeting scheduled for a week today. to talk about future plans for the franchise,
which
are now, a week from now, it could leak out that the Arizona Coyotes are about to become the Utah Coyotes.
Interesting.
The owner of the Utah Jazz is very, very, very interested in having an NHL team in Utah. And the NHL is a little concerned that the Arizona Coyotes cannot do what they said they were going to do with this new plan for the arena.
The arena looks incredible. If they were able to build that thing, it would be a destination.
If they were able to. The problem is they haven't bought the land yet. It's part of an auction. And the communities around them don't want them to do it. So there's that concern. There's also the fact, even if they were successful in getting the land, they have to build up the infrastructure. It's going to be another 3 years before they even get there, assuming there's no delays. So that's three more years playing in a dumpy little arena where they sit. Mullet Arena, 5,000 people. The NHL does not want to do that.
How many people are really going to be upset if it leaves Arizona, other than Matthews? Because that's his home state, right? He wanted to go back and play there eventually, I think.
That's always been the thought and the rumor. I mean, as a Leaf fan, I would love for the Arizona Coyotes to get out of Arizona. So
you
can remove that possibility for Austin Matthews going back at the end of his career at some point. But so what's now happening is the NHL is working on two different schedules, one that includes the Coyotes in Arizona, one that includes them in Utah. They're also working as a facilitator between potentially the new Utah owner. And what could happen is the owner of the Coyotes could make $1 billion off of this. So they're not exactly going to be losing out. They would be forced to sell to the Utah owner. The league would get $200 million. Arizona gets $1 billion. Teams now in Utah.
Seems like a pretty sweet deal.
The promise would be for Arizona, here's the carrot on the stick, if you can secure an arena deal that is done, confirmed, happening, will happen, we'll put a team back in Arizona.
But the clock is ticking if they have a meeting next Thursday about this.
I mean, so it'd be like, you know, 5 years from now. You know, it's like putting a team back. Like, there's always been a talk in the
Okay, so if they leave, they'll have to go back to Arizona.
Yeah, so they'll find a new franchise, they'll expand, they'll do something, they'll move a team to Arizona.
Just take the $1 billion and walk away.
That's what I would do.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.